The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, and can be found on page 962 of the Pew Bibles. The greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We live in a world that is broken, it's damaged, it's hurting. It doesn't take a genius to look at the news, to look at what's going on around and see the problems. Even just in the last few days with knife attacks in Belgium and outside Buckingham Palace. On top of what happened a week ago in Barcelona, in Finland, in Russia. On top of that, you've got the escalating tensions between North Korea and the USA. You've got the disharmony and the arguments over Brexit. There is murder. There are dreadful accidents like Grenfell Tower. And as we've also heard this week, there is the laziness of the middle-aged. I don't know whether you picked up on that, but middle-aged people, which is 40 to 60, which means I've got quite a lot of middle age left, which I was pleased about. We're so lazy and so we're getting too fat, and so we need to power walk. That was the news, the shocking news last Thursday. I'm still not convinced exercise is good for me, but never mind. We are in a world that is broken, it's damaged. It doesn't take much to recognise that, to spot that. But where is there hope for a broken world? At various times I've gone to performances, shows, or you've watched the news, you've seen things going on. Particularly I noticed back in 2012 at the Olympics, in the coverage around the Olympics and the Paralympics, there was this language of sport is the force that can change the world. I've been to shows where it's kind of a youth theatre production, and someone stood up at the end and said, "If only all young people could get involved in drama, then everything would be good with the world." Or choral singing. If you've watched any of Gareth Malone's programs, you get this sense that if only everybody would do choral singing, the world would suddenly come into harmony, in one sense or another. Or charity work, or education, or something. Surely there must be something that if everybody could do it, everybody could become part of it, then our world would be a better place. And yet each of those solutions that comes forwards, you look at it and you go, but that, it's a bit simplistic. It doesn't quite work. If sport is the thing that is going to save the world, Dave Sundman is probably never going to be saved. One size doesn't fit all. Similarly, actually, if music is the thing that's going to change the world, if you've heard me singing, I've been thrown out of more choirs than you've had hot dinners. The world is broken. What can be the hope for that broken world? As I said, we all recognize the issues that there are around our world. We've been looking through this summer, as well as the stories of Moses, we've been looking at the album Divide by Ed Sheeran, which is the biggest selling album of this year. It's been a huge commercial success for him. And so many of his songs speak about the brokenness of the human condition, the division that there is between people. Last week, John Lowe took us through Castle on the Hill, which catalogues this litany of problems amongst those around whom he grew up. And it pushes him, what is the answer? How can we find an answer to this problem? We're going to look a little later at the biblical answer, or part of the biblical answer to this problem. But before that, let's hear a song called What Do I Know? By Ed Sheeran, which is talking about the hope he can see for the world. We could change the whole world with a piano, a bass, a guitar, and a beat, and away we go. Bit simple, bit simplistic. I think we'd probably all agree, even a really, really good song probably isn't going to transform the world, because the problems are deeper, the problems are bigger. He talks about there the problem of greed, people looking for exponential growth and their portfolios. But the real reason that there is this problem at the heart of the world, he sums up in one line. You know, we are made up of love and hate, but both of them are balanced on a razor blade. I love that picture. Little baby with love and hate tattooed on his fingers. I'm sure it's not a real tattoo, before anyone sort of writes in and complains. But that's it, we're this mixture of love and hate. We want to be loving, we want to be right, we want to be good, and yet there is something in us that pulls us away from that, that makes us fall short of that. So we have a broken world, and yet Ed asserts love can change the world in a moment. Is there something in that? Is perhaps he onto something there? The story is told, some of you who are perhaps parents of younger children might relate to this. It was getting towards the end of the summer holidays, and the child living at the home was bored out of their mind. They had done every game, they had played every video game, they'd watched everything they wanted to watch on the TV. They were bored. And so, I forget whether it was the mum or the dad, but they looked through a magazine and they found a picture on one page of the magazine, which was a picture of the world, kind of taken from space. And they said, right, I'm going to take that picture, I'm going to cut it up into small pieces, I'm going to make a jigsaw puzzle for them to do. And because it's all swirling clouds and blues and greens and oranges, it's going to be a difficult jigsaw puzzle to do. And so they took this picture and they cut it all up and they presented it to their child and they thought, right, I've got a couple of hours of peace and quiet while they do this. 5 minutes later they come through, I've finished. Well, how could you possibly have finished? How could you possibly have finished that jigsaw? It was so difficult, so complicated, how could you have done it? And so, well, I looked on the other side of the pieces of paper. And on the other side of the pieces of paper, there was a picture of a man, and I found that once I'd put man back together again, the world had come together. I don't know whether it's a true story, but it's a good story. But it fits the heart of what is going on. Only can we get the world right if we get ourselves right. And so when Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai, when he receives these commandments, when that happened, it starts this process of putting people back together again, starting to show the way that God would have us live. And so Moses is up there, he's given these commandments, and they are, so many of them, about how we relate to each other. He talks about things, honouring your parents, not murdering. not committing adultery, not stealing, not telling lies, not having envy. If we could incorporate those six things into how we relate to each other, the world genuinely would be a much, much better place. And you might have heard when Penny was reading that part from Mark's Gospel, when this person came up and said to Jesus, okay, I know the commandments, which is the most important one? Jesus gave two answers. We're going to look at the second one first and the first one second, just because that appeals to me. But the second one that he gave sums up all six of those. What he said was, love your neighbour as yourself. This is not the person who lives next door to you. This is the people that are around you. Elsewhere, Jesus illustrates this principle of loving your neighbour as yourself by when you see someone in need. The parable of the Good Samaritan. When you see someone in need, you serve them, you help them, you do what you can. If we could be in a world where we did that, it would be a good step towards being better, a better place. But they're not the only ones in the Ten Commandments. The clue is the word ten. They are merely six. He also had, there will be no other gods but me. No idols. Don't misuse God's name. And keep the Sabbath holy. And when Jesus is trying to summarize those ones, rather than drawing something from Leviticus, he draws something from Deuteronomy, and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. You see, just having human relationships right is not enough. We can really only be part of putting this world back together, which is the call of the kingdom of God. We can only be part of that if we're also in a right relationship with God. We need the relationship with God and the relationship with each other. We need that vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship. Because these Ten Commandments, they are the law of love. Which is why I think Ed Sheeran maybe is simplistic, but he's not totally wrong. Love can change the world in a moment. If we love God with heart, soul, mind and strength, if we love our neighbour as ourself. Jesus then adds a third commandment. He says, a new commandment I give to you. Love each other as I have loved you. And kind of go, well, how is that different from the neighbour one? We see the neighbour one is kind of everybody around us. The each other, that's within the community of faith. We would call it church. Putting it perhaps a little bit differently, we are to be a loving people. And that love has to be expressed to God. It also has to be expressed to church around us. It also has to be expressed to the neighbours wider around us. So let me ask you the question, where do you need to increase in love? It may be that today you go, actually, I love God so much. That's great. My relationship with God is fantastic. But I really can't stand that person sat on the other side of church. It says in the New Testament, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother or your sister, you're a liar. It may be that you go, actually, I get on well with everybody here. Oh, but the people out there, they drive me mad. It may be that actually you're not close to God at the moment. My suspicion is, for every one of us, where do you need to increase in love? Well, we need to increase in love to God, to church, and to neighbour. We need to grow in all three of those. And we need God's help in growing in all three of those. When we finish our service today, as you go out, the stewards on the doors will give you one of these cards. It's the image up on the screen at the moment with a very simple prayer. It just says, Father, help me to love more. A few weeks ago, we gave out a card and it was about asking God to show us where we were being selfish. It's been great as I've gone round and visited people's homes and I've seen them up. I don't think they put them up just because I was coming. But maybe put that next to it, or if that one's come down, put this up in place of it. And each day, say, Father, help me to love more. Whether that is to love God, whether that is to love church, whether that is to love the people of the world around us. But if we put this into practice, love can change the world in a moment. After saying that, the third of those commandments about love each other as I have loved you, Jesus goes, because this is how the world will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. So I'm going to take a moment just to reflect, where do you need to increase in love? Maybe it's probably for all of us it's all three, but there might be one that as you're thinking dominates a little bit more. I'm just going to take a moment to reflect on that. Father, show us how we can increase in love for you, for church, and for neighbour. Amen.